has seen a raccoon in the city? Probably all of us. We will learn more about the habits and habitat of the raccoon, its biology and behaviors, and we'll learn how to deal with them when they end up in our backyard. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Have you ever been robbed by this masked bandit? Do you have one or more in your neighborhood? 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your questions or your observations. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is David Drake, a professor of forest and wildlife ecology at UW-Madison and a UW Extension wildlife specialist. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being with us. Well, we do shows on wildlife and animals from time to time, and we just focus in on one. And we decided to do raccoons in part because producer Nyasia Ellison saw one lumbering around the other day, and we thought, well, why not? We haven't done one on raccoons. How prevalent are raccoons in Wisconsin?
They're very prevalent. They're a native species to our state, as they are native to the United States, and so they belong here as a species that has historically been on the landscape, and they're very adaptable animals. And I think typically, historically, we were always used to seeing them out in the country, more in the rural or undeveloped areas, but because of their extreme adaptability, that they very easily moved into the cities and are very common denizens of the cities, not just in Wisconsin, but really across their range.
Yeah. So what brought them to the cities?
Well, like any species, raccoon, it could be raccoon, it could be a coyote, it could be a blue jay. All these animals need habitats to survive, and the habitat they're looking for includes food, water, and shelter. And there's plenty of that in the city. I mean, just yesterday, about midday, we let our dogs outside, and all of a sudden they're just barking like crazy. And there's something under the deck, it seems like. So I look under the deck, and sure enough, we've got a raccoon under our deck yesterday. And so you think about, all the open garage doors, for example, or all the decks we have on our houses, or sheds in the backyards. I mean, there's plenty of places that these animals can live. And raccoons are what we call cavity nesters, so they would typically, in the wild, where we don't have a lot of human beings, they would typically nest in cavities of old trees and things like that. Well, we've got just a tremendous amount of cavities in that urban landscape, and they exist as chimneys on our houses. So if you don't have a chimney cap on your chimney, it's likely you've got a raccoon living in that chimney or at some point, if not currently. So there's a lot of good shelter. Just think about all the food around. So raccoons are an omnivore, so they eat both meat and vegetables or plant matter. So if you are missing, some of the raspberries off your backyard raspberry bush, it's very likely it could be a raccoon, or they eat bird seed out of your bird feeders. They'll eat out of your trash cans and out of your compost pile, in addition to all the natural diet they eat, such as, nuts and insects and small mammals like mice and voles and bird eggs and all sorts of things like that. And there's just a plethora of that in the city. And then just think about all the water we have around here, not just naturally occurring water. In Madison, for example, we've got these wonderful lakes here. Yep. But you've got backyard bird baths, and quite a few of those are open even in the wintertime when people have bubblers or warming devices to keep that water open, or all those corporate office parks that have these fountains running year-round, that there's always open water someplace in that urban landscape. So the point is there's an abundance of habitat that supports these animals, and why not move in if you've got, if you've got a McDonald's in every corner and a nice warm bed someplace, why not?
Yeah, it's ideal. It's really attractive, I'm sure, to them. And when you mentioned having a raccoon under your deck just yesterday, this was some years ago, but the same thing at my house. And in fact, I had, at the time, I don't have my Sparky the Cocker Spaniel anymore, but yeah, I was afraid for him because the raccoon was bigger than he was.
They are. They can push maybe 30 pounds. A really big fat raccoon can push 30 pounds or so. And they are strong animals, and they can be very, very, very mean.
Yeah.
So
you don't want your dog to get into a fight with a raccoon.
No, you definitely don't, because at some point you're going to have to involve yourself in that fight to kind of spread the animals out. And I don't particularly want to tangle with a raccoon myself either. So nor do I want my pet to tangle with a raccoon.
You know, and I don't remember. I think I was looking into getting some sort of wildlife control live trapper to come to the house because I didn't know what to do. And then I did remove bird feeders. That was one thing that I had back there. And I think he or she went away on his or her own. Will that happen? Will they just kind of move on to something else?
Yeah, they certainly will, depending on what's out there. They've got a range or kind of a, they're not necessarily territorial per se, but they've got a home range, which is generally an area that they kind of occupy and regularly occupy. So if you take your bird feeders down and that's the only real attractant in your yard, they may go someplace else for an easier meal. But, raccoons probably don't live too long in the wild, maybe 2 to 3 years, something like that is what the thought is. And they're exposed to quite a few diseases, especially in the city. There's quite a few raccoons that get hit by cars and get killed. And some of the bigger dog breeds, they can easily kill a raccoon, even though raccoons are pretty strong and put up a pretty good fight. So, there's a lot of mortality factors that these animals encounter. And the other issue is, that raccoon may have met its demise shortly thereafter, and that also took care of the problem.
Yeah, it could be. Or he didn't come out from under the deck, and I just didn't see him for a while.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. But these animals, they're very smart, and they're very, very adaptable. And so, if you're going out there regulated to harass it, it may change its patterns just enough so that it avoids you, although it's still in the area.
Yeah.
They're not abundant in the landscape for no reason. They're smart, adaptable animals, and they do a very, very good job of making their living in the city or in the country.
Now, I'm going to say some. This is not really good breakfast talk, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. Just the other day, we saw Scat in the backyard, and we do not have a dog anymore, and our cat doesn't go outside. And my husband said, "What in the world?" And it was all full of bird seed, and it looked like a small dog had left that for us. And I thought that's probably a raccoon.
It probably is. And I know, we've got three dogs that run our yard. And I mean, they belong there, but they all run our yard. And so in the winter, we don't pick up any of their droppings. And in the spring, we go out and get it. And we've got as much raccoon scat out there sometimes as we do the dog scat. And again, it's full of seeds. It's full of berries, seeds from berries, seeds from your bird feeder. Sometimes you'll see some hair in there if they've been eating small mammals like mice and rats and things like that. So, if it doesn't look like it has any noticeable parts of food in there, that's probably your dog. But if you see seeds and things like that, that's most likely a raccoon.
Yeah, and it was on our basement window well cover, so it was an odd spot for it, too.
Yep. Well, raccoons sometimes will create what's called a latrine, where they will regularly go back to the same general spot to defecate. And so sometimes you'll see, sometimes a small pile of scat that all looks the same. And a lot of times that is from a raccoon.
Oh, I'll have to check. It hasn't been back yet. So, but yeah, that was just
it's knock on wood, Joy.
Yeah, I guess so. My goodness. Now I don't have a dog to get in a tussle with the raccoon, so I guess I'm not all that concerned about it. However, should I be? If I have a raccoon, setting up shop in my backyard, what should I do?
Well, raccoons, a healthy raccoon that is not diseased is going to be primarily nocturnal. So if you're letting your dog out during the day, it's probably a small chance that there's going to be any interaction at all. And at night, even if you let your dog out at night, most of the time, raccoons are going to try to avoid your pets because they don't want an encounter with that pet. And the off chance that something does go wrong and they do get into an encounter with the dog and the dog wins, if the raccoon gets injured, that's not going to be good for the raccoon. So, the raccoon is, like I said, they're smart animals, and there, unless the raccoon's cornered or the dog is challenging the raccoon for a food source or something like that, most of the time the raccoon's going to skirt the edge of your yard when your dog's out and is not going to try to encounter that dog at all, even the smaller breeds. And some of those smaller breeds, you know, you think about those terrier breeds, you know, they're pretty aggressive as well, and they bark a lot. And that's enough for the raccoon to say, I'll let you have this yard for the next 10 minutes, and when you go inside, I'll come back and you know, use the yard. So I think it's not, it doesn't hurt to be vigilant, and if anybody, any pet owner's concerned about that, by all means, you should go outside with your dog, carry a flashlight with you, or you know, put the exterior lights in the house on so you can illuminate the yard. It doesn't hurt to go out and do that. But most of the time the raccoons are going to avoid your dog, and everybody's going to be able to survive peacefully and coexist peacefully.
Coexist, yes. We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then I'd love to hear your experiences with raccoons. Do you have them in your backyard too, or do you witness them lumbering around the neighborhood? What questions do you have about raccoons? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking about raccoons, little masked bandits that sometimes raid your trash cans or steal your pet food or your bird seed. We are talking about the habitat, the behavior, and we'll talk some about the dangers associated with raccoons that have been in our cities and suburbs for some time now. And we're welcoming your questions about raccoons, and we're also welcoming any interactions you've had with raccoons. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is David Drake, a professor of forest and wildlife ecology at UW-Madison and a UW Extension specialist. Marks on Facebook says, one night I was walking into my partner's house and I heard a dog growling at me nearby. I freaked out because it sounded like a huge guard type breed. When I shone a flashlight, it was a raccoon that had scared me. I had no idea that they made noise, let alone growled like dogs. Is that true, David? They growl like dogs? What kind of sounds do they make?
You know, they do growl like that. They are not as vocal as other species of mammals or birds, but they certainly do make sounds, and growling is just a polite way to say, hey, I'm here. You know, don't get any closer.
Yeah, that's so. Other than a warning growl, they don't really communicate with sound so much.
No, not too much. They don't necessarily bark or yip or, you know, like coyotes or fox do or anything like that. So they are certainly vocal, but they're pretty basic in their vocalization.
Hey, what is the family? What animal species or family are the raccoons in?
Yep, so they're mammals, obviously, and they're in the order carnivora, so they're considered carnivores, so meat-eating animals, although they really truly are omnivores, but they're carnivorous mammals, what they'd be considered.
Are they, like, related to squirrels or bears or what?
No, only in the fact that they're mammals, and only in the fact that they're carnivores, so we would consider bears carnivores as well, but they're kind of in their own taxonomic guild, if you would. So their genus is Procyon and the species is Lotor. There are other species of raccoons in other parts of the world. So there's coatis and things like that, but they're kind of their own genetic branch.
They are so darn cute, too, with that little mask and those little paws that wash their food. Or are they washing their food?
Yep, they do. So that was one of the things that the Native Americans thought, you know, is that they call them food washers, because a lot of times they'll see them kneading their food in the water, and they are actually washing their food. But, yeah, they're one of those animals, you know, similar to deer or Canada geese or northern cardinals, that, you know, even if you're not familiar with wildlife, they're one of those unmistakable animals, because that ring tail and that black band across their face, that is really difficult to confuse a raccoon with anything else in North America, because we don't have any other animal that really looks like that.
Yeah. Sandra in Sauk City is with us. Hi, Sandra.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a different experience with raccoons. When I was young, many, many years ago, we had a pet raccoon.
Oh, so how did that come about?
Well, my dad brought home a baby raccoon. He put it in a cage, and it was really feisty. He went in with, over the days, with a big glove on so it wouldn't bite and everything, but somehow we got it tamed, and we had more fun with it. We took it with us, and and when the gentleman said how they washed their food, I always remember that, because we had a pan, put the food in there, and would watch him turn it around and eat it, and we would put him on a stool, and he would eat ice cream just sitting there.
In a cone, I hope?
Yes. And we had a big sort of a hound dog. We lived in the country, and they would go all over together.
So they were buddies.
Yeah, believe it or not. And I was just going to say, I know they do these things you say, but with us, it was different.
Yeah. And you know what? Before we get to David Drake to respond to that, Sandra, thank you for sharing that story. And that was some time ago. Barbara in Northern Illinois has a similar story. You also had baby raccoons as pets, Barbara?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so
my first one I had about 50 years ago. She used to ride horseback with me.
Oh, you used to take your raccoon horseback riding with you?
Yeah, she sat right behind me, just like a person, and hung onto my waist, and off we go.
This sounds very. So you how long did you have this as this raccoon as a pet, Barbara?
Oh, for about a year, and then she disappeared.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
She went to the raccoon farm. well, thank you. So two people, and I'm guessing, David Drake, you don't advise that we keep baby raccoons as pets.
No, I would definitely not advise that, but I was just still trying to get the image out of my head of driving down the road and looking over and watching a horseback rider going along the shoulder and doing a double take as a raccoon is hanging on
in the back.
Yeah, hanging on the back, so... It is not uncommon for people to have raccoons for pets, and the story shared by the first caller is a very common experience. You know, a lot of people have skunks for pets as well, but absolutely, for one thing, it's illegal to bring a wild animal into captivity without the proper permits, and you would need permits from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. So, for one thing, it's illegal. Number two, as the first caller mentioned, you know, they are feisty animals. It's a wild animal, and so they can bite, and they can claw, and they can scratch. Raccoons are possible to carry rabies is one of the issues, but raccoons carry a lot of different diseases, and you definitely do not want to get bit or scratched by a raccoon, and if you do, you need to seek medical help probably pretty quickly, and for sure, if you have the ability to kill that raccoon or hold that raccoon captive until you get medical assistance, that would be good, but most likely, if you get bit by a raccoon, if you cannot kill that raccoon and submit the brain for rabies testing, you're going to have to go through the rabies series of shots because they're not every raccoon out there is carrying rabies, but enough of them do that it's something you'd want to be careful of. And then the other issue is that these animals are just, you know, they belong outside in their natural habitat, and certainly they're able to live with us as a pet, you know, if we bring them in early enough in their life that they will tame down, as that woman said. And what happens typically, and you see this in the cities, is the more times raccoons encounter human beings and nothing bad happens to that raccoon after each encounter, that animal will start to habituate or get used to us. And they do, you could think of it as taming down. So these city raccoons, one of the reasons that the earlier callers, you know, he heard a raccoon growling, is that raccoon had gotten so used to human beings that instead of running away from us, it stood its ground and it announced itself so the caller knew that it was there. And that's a classic sign of these animals habituating or taming down to human beings. And so you, just like you see this in captivity, if that, you know, the woman's father brought that animal into captivity and the animal tamed down, you do see this with wild raccoons as well as wild other animals as well, where they get so used to human beings and habituated to us that they kind of lose their fear of us.
Yeah. I have a sad story also to share. This was a family member who had a raccoon on the terrace in the middle of the day at her house, and she thought it looked like it was sick, and apparently it was a rabid raccoon that was just kind of in the middle of the day on her terrace. And I don't know if it was animal control or a police officer came and dispatched, if you know what I mean, with a gun.
Sure.
That raccoon. So what should you do if you see if you have a raccoon in your yard, and whether or not you think it's rabid or not?
Yeah, I think it completely depends on the situation. So as you mentioned, Joy, that one of the things to really look at is how does that animal behave? And as we mentioned earlier on, that raccoons are nocturnal animals, so they're active at nighttime, and that's their normal routine, is to be active at nighttime. So if you see a raccoon out in the middle of the day, it doesn't necessarily mean it's sick, because, again, when animals habituate to us, some of their behavioral patterns, activity patterns can change, and so you might see an animal out during the day when it typically is nocturnal. But if you see the animal out during the day, in addition to that animal not acting normal, so it looks like it just is out of it, it's not,
yep,
it's kind of wandering around aimlessly or lost, is a good example of that. Or if the animal is overly aggressive, that's another good example to look for. With rabies, there's two different forms of it. One is dumb and one is furious. And the dumb rabies is the animal's rabid, but it's not foaming at the mouth, for example, and it's not being terribly aggressive. But the furious one is the one that's most obvious, and that's the one we always think about, is that the animal's foaming at the mouth and it's very aggressive. But regardless, if you see an animal or a raccoon out during the day and it looks like it's sick or injured, here in Madison, you could call Four Lakes Wildlife Rehabilitation Center if you think it's a sick or injured animal, and they typically will come out and get it and rehabilitate that animal, hopefully to release it back into the wild.
Right.
If it's diseased, for example, with rabies, then that becomes a human health emergency, and you probably should call 911 at that point. And then the 911 dispatcher will probably send a police officer out or somebody else, especially in the city. And then the proper management protocol at that time would be to dispatch the animal, because you do not want a rabid animal walking around the city, for sure.
Yeah.
Out in the country, where guns are more prevalent and it's legal to discharge a firearm outside of municipal boundaries, a lot of people, if they see a raccoon during the day, they'll take care of the problem themselves. But if you're not willing or able to do that, for sure, call your police department. If it's not an immediate emergency, don't use the 911 number. Just look up the police department number and call the local number, or call a wildlife rehabilitator or some kind of a animal services unit in your city.
We have full lines, so let's go back to the phones. Jerry in Lake Mills. Hi, Jerry.
Well, good morning. I've had raised and had raccoons since 1970, and they are incredibly intelligent and powerful animals. You have no idea the strength of these creatures. I have only raised like one or two in the house at any time in my life, but they are really amazing. And I agree with your guest that you should be careful of seeing one during the day. However, they can adapt themselves to your life. And if you're putting out food or taking garbage out or putting out bird seed in the middle of the day, if they're around, they'll probably be there in the middle of the day. This year they have been on my porch and hanging. I have an iron ornamental door, and they're always waiting for me to throw out feed in the morning.
Oh.
They adore marshmallows. I mean, that's their food of choice if they had a choice.
Do you have videos of this,
like
Jerry?
Bats on the door.
They're hanging like bats. You must have videos of this, do you?
No, I don't. It's just incredible.
I wanted you to post one.
And there they are, just hanging on the metal, just peering in, waiting for me to come out. It's quite amazing.
And these are not ones that you have. I mean, these are wild raccoons that have become buddies with you. Is that right?
Yes. And you know, this occurs every year. In fact, I think there's a. My former husband always said, "Good grief, dear! They're like hippies. They must be writing your name on a telephone pole so they know where to find you."
Aw, and they love marshmallows. So what about that? I mean, a lot of raccoons that are actually, they're, I guess, becoming tame in a way, or at least, you know, they're waiting for Jerry and her marshmallows.
Yeah, so raccoons are attracted to sweeter foods, and so if we try to bait raccoons into a live trap, for example, we would always use a sweet bait, such as a marshmallow, or you know, putting some maybe strawberry jam on a piece of bread and putting that in the trap. But that kind of sweet bait is very attractive to raccoons. And Joy, I should just, again, just to reiterate, none of your callers obviously are doing anything intentionally wrong, but mm-hmm. just so everybody's aware that it is illegal to bring a wild animal into captivity without the proper permit. Yeah. But if you do that, make sure you take that animal to the veterinarian so that that animal can get vaccinated for rabies and other diseases, because that there's a strong disease risk there otherwise for the human handler and anybody else living in that house.
Yeah. Thank you, Jerry. What get a video of that. That is amazing to see them hanging on your screen door or and eating their marshmallows. Cherry in Mequon is with us now. Hi, Cherry.
Hi. I just wanted to say that, first of all, I am Native American, and I also am a great lover of St. Francis of Assisi, who
yes.
was, you know, an animal lover.
Yes.
And I think the white man does not treat our animals right.
Aww.
None of them. We never killed animals for sports. And all animals are God's creatures. And I have a raccoon, a mother raccoon, and two baby raccoons. And every night the mother comes to my patio door, and she knocks on the door. They're very smart.
Oh.
She knocks on my door,
yeah.
And I see her, and her babies, they don't come with, they stay in the yard, but she comes and knocks on the door, and I give them food. And because I give them food, a lot of people, they know that, because I feed the deers, I feed everything, okay, the birds, the squirrels, everything, because I have a great love for animals.
And Cherry, I do too, and
raccoons mm-hmm. they're sweet, and sometimes when it's in the winter and stuff and they don't have no food, they get hungry too, just like people.
And Cherry, I'm going to jump in because we have a news break coming up, and I want David Drake to talk a little bit about how smart they are, and I guess I know do not bring necessarily that raccoon in the house, but if you want to feed that raccoon, Cherry can feed that raccoon, can't she, David?
Well, she could. I would not recommend it.
No.
And she was talking about baiting deer, for example, as well. And you know, I definitely want to be sensitive to people's outlook and perspective on animals. I mean, I think we all love animals. There's no doubt about that. I think the vast majority of all people have great respect for wildlife. But the problem with feeding animals is you start getting them used to coming to you. And sometimes that gets so extreme that they will stop using some of their natural food sources. So it can actually be bad for the animal to do that. But when you also are feeding animals like deer, for example, because of the chronic wasting disease issue we have in the state, that there are no baiting bans, or you cannot legally bait in many parts of the state now because they're trying to limit the spread of chronic wasting disease. And that's what also happens sometimes when you start feeding animals. You can concentrate higher numbers artificially, and then the disease can start spreading through that population quicker. But the last thing is, when you start feeding animals, ultimately what happens is the next person that raccoon encounters is expecting food from that person. And if they don't give them food, then unfortunately sometimes negative things start happening where the raccoon does get aggressive toward that human being because they're expecting food.
They want a marshmallow. So, I gotta jump in because I've got news next, and then we will continue talking about raccoons and welcome more of your questions and more of your experiences. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We're talking about raccoons. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Our guest is David Drake, a professor of forest and wildlife ecology at UW-Madison and a UW Extension wildlife specialist. And we're welcoming your questions about raccoons, your interactions with raccoons, your experiences, your observations. I've heard a lot from people so far who actually illegally had raccoons as pets. What about anybody have any problems with raccoons? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's take a call next from Doug in Wilmot. Hi, Doug.
Hey. Hey, okay, I'm sitting outside in the front early in the morning reading the paper, drinking a coffee, and I hear some weird noise underneath the bush, creepy noise. It comes out, it's a raccoon with a mayonnaise jar stuck on his head.
A mayonnaise jar, oh no.
Yeah, it was like an adolescent-sized raccoon. So I get my welding gloves, I pick the thing up, I bring it in the house, I wake the wife up. She went to Save Wildlife. So we put it in on the kitchen counter. I got it with the welding gloves. She goes out to the garage, gets two hammers. We put a hammer underneath the bottom of the mayonnaise jar, and she cracks the mayonnaise jar on the top. And sure enough, man, the mayonnaise jar just shatters. The raccoon has a mayonnaise jar up. But now it turns around and tries to bite me.
Uh-oh.
So I freak out, and I drop it on the kitchen floor. Now there's broken glass all over the kitchen floor. The wife is barefoot. We got an 80-pound German Shepherd. He's having a good old time. And I eventually get the raccoon with the welding gloves. I pick him up. The wife opens the front door. We let the raccoon out, and I wipe my brow, and I start cleaning up the broken glass on the kitchen floor. It was a crazy morning.
No. And did you say your wife does have, wildlife rehab experience? Is that what you said, Doug?
Yeah, she does that. Yeah, she's mm-hmm. like a volunteer. She's not like licensed.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And also inside the mayonnaise jar, there was an ice cream, like a popsicle stick. And you could see the ice cream. So I think someone had an ice cream stick and then put that in the mayonnaise jar. And then at night, the raccoon came along and wanted to lick the ice cream off the stick. So it stuck its head inside the mayonnaise jar, and then he couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was kind of a wild story.
It sounds like a wild story. And, yeah, really, I guess it's a good thing that you didn't get bit by that raccoon, Doug. But, David, so what do you do when you find a raccoon with a mayonnaise jar caught on its head?
First of all, don't call Doug to help you. I think that's a pretty common thing. I shouldn't say common, but it's not uncommon to see animals. And again, it could be skunks, it could be raccoons, where they've gotten their head inside a jar or a bucket or something like that. And especially for raccoons, as we mentioned, they're cavity nesters. They use cavities to raise young. They also use cavities in trees, which are old, dead areas and trees that they can actually crawl into, and they will sleep in there for shelter and things like that. So, for an animal like a raccoon to put its head through a hole like the opening of a mayonnaise jar is not something that's foreign to that animal. And then on top of it, as we mentioned earlier, they really like sweet foods like marshmallows and jam, ice cream. And if you saw ice cream inside that mayonnaise jar, that's another attractant for that animal to go and see, if there's something good to eat in there. And unfortunately, it found its head stuck in the mayonnaise jar, couldn't get it out. And thanks to Doug and his wife, they were able to get the animal out of the mayonnaise jar. But it's not uncommon, and that's one of the things that, is kind of these weird experiences that these animals have to encounter and sometimes do experience in that city that they may not necessarily do experience in the country because they don't see as much human product on the landscape as they do out in the country.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you have, there's some really cute, at least funny and cute to me, YouTube videos regarding raccoons. out there, and one of them that makes me laugh out loud. And I'm not sure if this was a wild raccoon or a tamed raccoon, but it comes up to the cat's food, and the cats are eating the food, and they're like, "What the heck?" And the raccoon, you know, pushes them out of the way and grabs with its hands handfuls of cat food, and it's washing it off. And then when the guy with the video camera gets too close, he grabs a bunch of handfuls of food and scampers off on its back legs. It was running away. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
But let's say it's not hilarious to you. What do you do if you have a visiting raccoon and you want to discourage that type of behavior?
Yeah, well, the first thing to do is make sure that you don't have any attractants or anything that's attracting that animal into your yard. So a great example there, Joy, with that video is that they're feeding their cats outside, and there's food available directly and readily available to not only that raccoon, but there's other animals that will come eat that cat food. It could be a possum, it could be skunk, it might be a coyote, it might be a fox, other things like that. Plus, you're attracting your other cats from the neighborhood, perhaps either domestic or feral, into the area. So the first thing is remove any attractants, and an example would be direct attractants like that cat food, or bird feeders, where you might be directly feeding that animal. There's other indirect attractants out there to think about, especially the raccoons, because we mentioned they're such diet generalists. You know, if you've got a compost pile and you're putting scraps from dinner or your meals on that compost pile, that's something that you're composting. You're composting your food, but indirectly you're also feeding, again, raccoons and a whole bunch of other types of wildlife. If you don't are not putting food out in your compost pile, that compost pile is still a nice refuge or a nice habitat for small mammals that might be a prey attracting raccoons in. So if you could, fence your compost pile off, or better yet, get one of those, poly composters where you can actually spin it, but it's completely enclosed. So the point is, remove any attractants you have out there. Whenever you see raccoons, you should take a minute to observe that animal and enjoy seeing that animal, because they are really fascinating animals. There's no doubt about that. But observe them from a safe distance. And after you get done observing them, scare the animal out of your yard. So wave your arms and yell at it. Bang pots and pans, spray the hose at it. But whatever you need to do, but haze that animal every single time you see it. And that will discourage that animal from being in your yard. Yeah. Like we mentioned, they're nocturnal, so maybe have motion-sensored bright lights on your house. So when something breaks that plane, the light comes on, and that would be enough sometimes to startle animals out of the way. If it gets to the point where you've got a raccoon in your chimney, or sometimes they get into your attic or under your porch, and you want that animal out of there, live trapping that animal is probably the best thing to do, and you can do that yourself, or you can hire somebody to do that through the Yellow Pages if you want to. But once you live trap that animal, then if you go to release the animal, we kind of always joke you should have a 4-lane highway and a river between you and the release point. But if you do release that animal, you need to have permission from the owner, the landowner, where you release the animal, if you don't own that land. Otherwise, you're releasing that animal illegally. So there's some issues with live capture and releasing or relocating that animal, but that's probably one of the better things to do. Or live capture and humanely euthanize that animal would be another option.
Briefly, too, there was a newer story on Slate, and there was a video of a woman who was being, this little smart aleck raccoon was going in the pet door, then she blocked that off, and it was like taking the screen off of her window and coming into her house. It was amazing. So sometimes, again, she set up a video camera and maybe was being amused by this, but maybe you want to call someone or get the pots and pans out earlier.
Yeah, for sure. And if you have a pet door, where obviously and understandably, if you're not home during the day, the pet can come and go as it wants to out into the yard, and that makes perfect sense. However, keep in mind that is a two-way door, and so not only is your pet coming from the inside outside, but if you've got a lot of very good smelling things in your house. I mean, just think about if you make bacon this morning for breakfast. That really delicious smell lingers in the air for a while, and it's not just in your kitchen, but it also lingers outside your house, and these animals have unbelievable senses of smell. And so if they smell bacon and there's a way to get into your house, they're going to come in. And if they continually come into your house through that cat door, as that article was explaining,
yeah.
and you block that off, they're going to figure out a way to get in if they can, and they may do some property damage, such as ripping the screen off of your open window to get into your house. And that's when things start accelerating, and that is definitely not something you want.
Little stinkers. David in Ettrick is with us. Hi, David.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'd just like to say that raccoons eat turkey eggs, and when you live out in the country, I've seen turkey eggs 3 years in a row, and then the raccoon disappeared through the live trap, and it was good. So I just thought I'd say that they eat bird eggs that are on the ground.
Yeah.
They're really good at finding them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. I think he thought that was also hurting the turkey population. But what about, there is a hunting season for raccoons or no?
Well, yeah, there is. Raccoons are what we call a fur bearer species, so you could trap them, and many people do trap them for their fur. But in Wisconsin, there's also a what's called nuisance wildlife law, so raccoons are one of the species that if you are experiencing damage on property that you own, you can legally euthanize that animal or dispatch that animal at the time damage is occurring on the property you own, as long as the method you choose to dispatch the animal is legal. So, for example, if you want to shoot that animal with a gun, but it's illegal for you to use a gun in the municipal boundary where you live, then dispatching that animal by gun would be illegal, even though it's still legal to kill that animal.
Yeah. Brian called, and he wanted to know if you could explain what red raccoons or cinnamon raccoons are, because he has those in his barn. Are they... Is that a raccoon?
It is most likely a raccoon. I'm not terribly familiar with that name that he's using. But, you know, like think about squirrels, for example. Squirrels, we typically think, and we've got a bunch of different squirrel species in Wisconsin, but we think about gray squirrels in particular. But gray squirrels, you can see them in a completely black phase. You can see them in a blonde phase. You can sometimes see them as an albino, which is a completely white phase with the pink eyes. And so it's just a different color variation to their pelt.
Yeah,
is most likely what he's looking
speaking
at.
Speaking of raccoon, or squirrels, I'm sorry, we have just a minute left. Did you see the squirrel on Lambeau Field yesterday during the game?
I don't know if they ever got it off the field, but I saw that they were diligently working at trying to catch that animal.
There's a lot of memes now with it has a little Packer helmet on it and stuff. And, well, so a 30-second takeaway for our listeners about raccoons?
They're fascinating animals. No matter what you do, they're going to be here living amongst us in the cities. And so the best thing for us to do is figure out how we can all peacefully coexist and enjoy the raccoons, but don't exaggerate problems with them by feeding them directly or indirectly. And if you've got a problem with the animal, you know, take care of it humanely, please.
Thank you so much for being with us. David Drake, professor of forest and wildlife ecology at UW-Madison and a UW Extension specialist. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.